الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله بغير علم ويتخذها هزوا أولئك لهم عذاب مهين فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Respected ulama, elders, brothers, young ones in Islam, according to the habit of our Ustad, Sheikh Azimul Abdul Hamid Sa'adahu Barakatuh, try to discuss one of the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam before every bayan. One hadith Nabi alayhi salam said, من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني. Whoever loves my sunnah, he loves me. And whoever loves me, كان معي في الجنة, he'll be together with me in Jannah. Allah give us the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sunnah. One very simple sunnah is 4 rakats before Zuhur Salat and 4 rakats after Zuhur Salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, a person who recites 4 rakats, who reads 4 rakats before Dhuhr and 4 rakats after Dhuhr, حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ, Allah will make the fire of Jahannam forbidden for that person. Such a simple action. Any of us, alhamdulillah, we read 4 rakats before Dhuhr and we read 2 after Dhuhr. Just add another 2. So it becomes 4 and 4. 4 rakats before Dhuhr and 4 rakats after Dhuhr Salat. And then a person will be saved from, Allah will make the fire of Jahannam haram for that person. SubhanAllah, what a great virtue. And also very important, if we, perchance, miss our 4 rakats before the Zuhur Salat, sometimes it happens, the person gets late, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is to read it after the Zuhur Salat. He read the 2 rakats of sunnah, and then the 4 rakats thereafter. So we can always read that 4 rakats if we have perchance missed it out. And also very important, with all 4 rakats, make sure that we read, in all 4 rakats we must read a surah also. Surah Fatiha and a surah. Only in our Farz Salat, in the 4 rakats, you read 2 rakats, Farz, with the according to the Hanafi Mazhab, the Surah Fatiha and the Surah, and the last 2 rakats, you don't read anything. But in Nafal Namazes, in Sunnat Namazes, all 4 rakats, the person must ensure he reads Surah Fatiha and the Surah. There are many brothers, years, one brother I met, he said, 30 years I've been reading only Surah Fatiha in my last 2 rakats. I don't read the Surah. So according to the Hanafi Mazhab, that the wajib we have left out. The Namaz is completely defective. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So these 4 rakats, Sunnat, and after Zuhr, 2 we read, at least 4 rakat, Allah will prohibit the fire of Jahannam from that person. Allah give us tawfiq. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, which I have recited, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ حِسَابًا, your reckoning has become extremely close for people. As Mawlana Zubair was mentioning, وَلْتَنْدُرُ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, every person must prepare for tomorrow. Allah is saying, Qiyamah is so close, that Qiyamah is like tomorrow. Like now, tomorrow we're going back home. Allah is saying, Qiyamah is so close. You're thinking it's still a long time. It is so fast, it will come, it will be like tomorrow. Allah said, prepare for tomorrow. And tomorrow is yaqini. There's no doubt. Nobody got a doubt. Somebody you tell, somebody I'll meet you tomorrow. You say, you sure tomorrow will come? Tomorrow is definite. Well, tomorrow is not actually definite. It's possible Qiyamah takes place before that. But Qiyamah, the day of Qiyamah is 100%. So let us see, like how tomorrow you got yaqeen and conviction, you must prepare for that day. And the third thing ulama says, tomorrow. It's like the whole life of this world is so short, it's like one day. And the day of Qiyamah is tomorrow. So the whole life of Akhirah is like not next day, but the whole day. So they say like how you keep roza for one day, you control yourself for one day, and then you know the iftar time later on. So a person must control himself for this one day. So anyhow, Allah said, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ, your Qiyamah in the day of your reckoning is extremely close. But people fear ghaflat, and they are drowned in ghaflat and mindfulness. And they are turning away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I would like to speak about, something of ghaflat, which takes a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which makes a person turn away from his deen, from his responsibilities, and that is something which is found in the whole world today, the smartphone, the cell phone, internet. So these things, it has become such, it's like a part of our bodies nowadays, like you can't let go of it. Every person has, it's a necessity also in life, everyone is using it. But today it's like how you say an extra family member we got. Actually some people, they spend more time on the cell phone than they even spend on their own family members. That's how part it has become part of people's lives. They say it has become so much that if Facebook has to be transformed into a country, it will be the third largest country in the world after China and India. And today it's not only a person is using the phone, but it's the addiction. How you get addiction for alcohol, addiction for drugs, people go, addiction for gambling. You're actually getting addiction centers for people who are involved in the cell phone. So what a fitna it has become. According to one research done in America, they say Americans check their phone on average approximately 80 times a day. It is every few minutes they are checking their phone. Approximately every 12 minutes or whatever, the person is looking for at his phone. And the youth check their phones approximately 150 times in a day. 150 times. This shows how the world has changed now. And so it is a very great challenge. So remember, there's always been a... One is, when a person looks at the phone, then we say, oh, how man is advanced. But you mustn't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah ta'ala took you out from the womb of your mother. You knew nothing at all. Allah made for your eyes, Allah made for your ears, Allah made for your heart. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So you can make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eyes was to have seen the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ears was to have heard the ayat of the Quran, the words of Allah, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the heart was supposed to have thought about Allah, thought about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, the same eyes, we are using it in the phone. The ears, we are listening to all the things on the phone. And the hearts, we are thinking about all the wrong things on the phone. May Allah ta'ala protect us. So these great bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a ni'mat also. It can be used if it's used in the correct way. But Allah ta'ala, when we don't get overawed by these things, man, Allah has given him brains. He is the one who created it, made it. Allah ta'ala made him utilize his mind to make it. So when we see these things, firstly, don't become overawed. But realize that this is part of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn our attention, everything, that Allah is the one behind this. Your car, your smart car, with all the features it has got. But they can never ever, like our Hazrat mentioned the other day, he says that in the newspaper you see that the latest, what was Hazrat used? That the ultimate in technology. And then next year, again, ultimate in technology. But Allah's ultimate in technology, Allah has made us human beings. How perfect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. So a person doesn't get overawed by these things. These are things that Allah has given, these bounties and ni'mat. And your person that utilizes it, but don't use it, but don't abuse it. So a few important points regarding the cell phone. There's some fitnas, which how we get involved in it. When the time when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, there was always the forces of haq and batil. Forces of the truth and falsehood. This is Allah ta'ala's system in the world. This is the world of imtihan and examination. So till qiyamah, this will remain this place of haq and batil. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran. So, always the forces of batil and falsehood, their object was to misguide people, turn people's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn their attention away from akhirat. And this is what we are seeing in the world today. That how we are turned, our attention is turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to such an extent, the person becomes so involved in wrong things that the purpose of life is forgotten. What is the kufar? What do they say? In here, illa hayatina dunya, namutu wa nahya, wa ma yuhlikuna illa dar. We have this worldly life, we love, we'll die, and the only thing which will destroy us is time, and we come to an end. Wa ma lahum min dhalika min ilm, Allah says they've got no knowledge. And some of them said, wa ma hadhihi al-hayatu dunya, Allah says himself, wa ma hadhihi al-hayatu dunya illa lahu wa la'ib, wa inna dar al-akhirata layya al-hayawan. This worldly life is just a play, amusement, pastime, but the actual life is the life of akhirat. So anyhow, the kuffar and disbelievers, they love to turn the people's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was one person by the name of Nadhr ibn Harith. And he used to go to other countries, and when the Quran Sharif was being revealed and recited, so now how can he turn people's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he used to go to these countries and buy novels, and buy all of these books, and come back to Makkah Mukarrama and read the stories to the people. And people will be listening to this and get amazed. And he will tell them, what are you listening to the Quran Sharif? Look at what I got. Look how enjoyable the stories of the king of Persia and the king of this country and the king of that country. So many in this way he would entice people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَشْتَرِي لَهُوَ الْحَدِيثِ. There are people who are buying these words which will make the person unmindful. According to some narrations, he used to buy one, he bought one singing girl. She's a very beautiful woman. He will call all his friends, give them wine, and they will be sitting and drinking their wine. He'll call this beautiful girl and she will be singing songs and dancing for all the men. And she says that what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you about Jannat and Akhirat and all of those, so hard things they are. Yeah, look at this, see how enjoyable this is. And in this way, he will turn people's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah said in ayat of the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ. People are buying this speech which makes the person unmindful. Mawlana Abul Hasan al-Najdi rahmatullah said that this ayat is very beautiful. He said, لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ. There was no better word Allah Ta'ala could have used in his time. He's saying about television. He said, like in the Arab, you told the Arabs that television is haram. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي television. They wouldn't understand what television was because there was no television in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But he said, what word Allah used? That till Qiyamah this will continue. So in his time the television was there. لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ. Such speech which makes a person unmindful. And this is exactly what the cell phone is. It makes a person so unmindful. A person, he is unmindful of his deen firstly. He is unmindful of his, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgets. How many of us, Allah forgives myself also. We lot of times we forget our cell phone is on and we're performing salat. So you are staring and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and now the cell phone rings. Even if it's on silent, but it's in your pocket, it's vibrating. Doesn't it make a person unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now you're wondering, hey, I wonder who's phoning me now. And then the second time the phone rings, third time the phone rings, and a person feels a vibration. His mind is not in his salat. Allah forgive us, that how unmindful we are, it has made us unmindful. People forget their responsibilities at home. That one incident at the level, that lady, she was charged with her child for 2 days, she never fed the child. The child passed away because she was so involved in the cell phone. So this is lahu. How a person becomes so unmindful, a businessman, he can't work on his business. As a student, there's a problem everywhere in all the madaris, everywhere in schools. A person is so engaged in his cell phone, he's completely distracted from his studies. He can't. So this is one of the fitnas, that this is lahu. The reality of life, a person doesn't see. You become so engaged in it. So as I'm mentioning, it's like a, ulama say it's like a sharp knife. A sharp knife. A knife is an extremely useful tool. No house can do without it. But some knives are more sharper and more dangerous than others. So they are used for very, some knives you use them for slaughtering an ox and what are not big things you can use. But despite it being such an important tool in the house, you don't just give it to any child. Tell a child, I just use a knife, you give it to him. You're very careful. How you yourself will use it. You're extremely careful. You know this is beneficial, but it's extremely harmful also. And I'll never trust my child with a knife. And you're 2-year-old child, 3-year-old child. Today the small children, I sometimes get shocked. I'm looking at a child, 2-year-old child, 3-year-old. He knows exactly which button to press. And he knows where he must go. And even what you don't know yourself, he knows already. And one day, just a few years ago, I saw one child just moving the phone up and down. And I was like shocked, like how these children, 2 years, 3 years, they already know how to use the phone. But the Hazrat gave us the answer that whatever is in the environment, it has an effect. So the child is eating from the food which is made in the environment. So that is why whatever is in the environment, so what, like 20 years ago we were growing up. So that time what was in the environment, it had an effect on us. But the child is growing up now, 2 years, 3 years old, so the food which is in the environment that we are giving him also to eat, it has an effect on him. That's why this technology becomes like playthings for them. And a person who's like about 30, 40 years, his mind can't work out how does things work. And a person is 60, 70 years old, his brains don't work properly. But a person who's younger, so quickly, I was telling some students the other day, I said, you all think this, and Morana is like, he doesn't, he's so stupid, he doesn't know about the cell phone. I was telling him, I don't understand these things. I said, don't worry, when I was 20 years ago, I think about my father, I said, my father didn't understand such simple things, whatever technology was that time. I said, in 20 years time, when there'll be new technology, your children will understand far better than what you understand, because at a certain time comes in your age, or at that time when you were growing up, there wasn't these things. So it's not in a person's mind. So anyhow, this thing has taken a person, and a person can't be careless. He has to use it very, very carefully. And some people say, no, me, I trust my son. By Firoz Mehman, Khalifa. So he said, you trust your children. He said, you know, you can't trust yourself with a cell phone. And you're giving it to your daughter, you're giving it to your son. He said, Yusuf alayhi salam said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي, I can't trust myself. And he said, you say, no, I trust my child. Yeah, he's a responsible child. How many youngsters, how many pious families, when you get the stories, so many times we meet youngsters come to us, I'm going to get married to this girl. He's starting in a girl's madrasa, second year, third year. Pious family, the Tablighi family, Alim's family. Sultan never ever goes out of the house. Even she's staying in the house, she's not even going for Alima cause. How you got involved with her? My father gave her a cell phone. One brother was telling me last week, he said, I think he's here also in the gathering. He was telling me that, not South Africa, in Pakistan, one of his family members, 3 years they're looking for a girl, a good girl. You go into the villages, normally you get very good girls there. He said, in the villages, the sweetness is so much. The 3 years, the person is looking, every girl they go to, I already got a boyfriend. Cell phone, living in the villages. They say, 7.5 billion smartphones have been sold in the world, more than the population of the world. So what the fitna, how this thing has grabbed everyone. So may Allah protect and save us. So a person has to be very careful how we use it. It's like a knife. So at least keep it in our mind that this thing is not something which is, we can just use like that. We have to use it, but we have to be extremely careful how we utilize it. And especially for our children, Allah protect and save us. Don't give it to our children until they don't get married also. Even when they get married, we know people are getting involved with marriage. But until they don't get married, don't ever give it to your child. And there is a lot of peer pressure, I understand that there also, but we have to encourage our children, explain to them the harms of it, and keep them under our control. Otherwise, once they got the phone, they're not in our control anymore. We have handed them over to the hands of the enemies. So this is one point about the cell phone. The second point, in Islam, there is something called Hurumatillah. وَمَن يُعَظِمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. A person who respects the sha'air of Allah Ta'ala. فَإِنَّا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. You respect the places of honor and respect. Shawliullah rahmatullah alayhi says, there are four sha'air Allah. The one is Kaaba Sharif, one is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is Qur'an Kareem, and one is Salat. So these are the four sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything else is connected to it. Example, Adhan is part of Salat, Jumu'ah is part of Salat. So all of these are connected. The Masjid is part of Salat. So Qur'an Kareem, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salat, and Quran, Kaaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the four sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which has place in the world. So whoever respects these, he shows he's got taqwa in his heart. But we know now that how much of disrespect is shown to these places. Kaaba Sharif. The person is going in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the masjid, the cell phone is ringing. The person is sitting in the masjid and we are sending messages to people. We are talking to people in the masjid loudly. And as I mentioned, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to mention that before the music, if a non-Muslim person was driving past the masjid and he had his music blasting, the Muslims would go out and hit him. They don't you have respect for our holy place? He said today the enemies have made such an effort that we ourselves have brought music in the masjid. So the whole ta'zeem and respect, we are standing in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the person is taking selfies. He's standing in front of Kaaba Sharif, we are taking selfies there. So there's no respect, there's no honor for these mubarak and sacred places. One is the hurmat, the impermissibility of music and taking pictures and all of that. But this is even in the sacred places, we have lost the respect of it. And this is the severe warning in the Quran, أَنْتَحْبَطَ عَمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Don't raise your voices above the voice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It must not happen because of disrespect, you lose your iman. Disrespect to the honorable places of deen. In front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you're showing disrespect, your cell phone is blasting there, you're taking pictures there. It must not happen. And tahbatu amalukum. All your actions are completely destroyed. You lose your iman also. You don't even know. Allah protect and save us from the same. So this is the second thing. When we are using this, that don't show disrespect and disregard to the sacred signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing is how this phone has taken us time. As it mentions that, you know, a person can lose his family. A person can lose his business. A person can lose his wealth. But he can always get it back. And as it says that even Allah forbid, a person can lose his iman. But you can still get your iman back. But time, what is gone in your life, can never come back. That time of your life which is gone, it can never ever come back. So I sat with my phone last night for 2 hours. But was I really doing anything beneficial on it? Or did 2 hours of my life go? And tomorrow I have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the time of my life which has gone. How many hours go? A person is just sitting on the cell phone looking for something, and then it goes to something else, something else, something else, and then 3 hours are gone. I'm sitting, and then the next day I'm tired in my work. He said, boss is there something, I'm not feeling well. Not I'm not feeling well, I never sleep properly last night. I don't sleep properly, that's obviously I'm going to be tired. The student is tired in class. Person, he never sleep properly at night. This is a waste of time. So really, if we have to use our cell phone also, but am I really using it for something beneficial, or is my time getting wasted? Hours and hours go, and a person wastes time. So this is the third harm of the cell phone, that a person's time is wasted. The fourth thing is, a person has to be really careful with the send button. Many times, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Kafa bil mar'i kadiban ay yuhaddith bi kulli ma sami'a." It's sufficient for a person to be regarded as a liar. So whatever he hears, he just sends it. He passes it on to somebody else. He speaks about it. So many messages come to us today. We don't even verify it. We just send it out. And nowadays, clips also is a very big fitna. We just get one clip of somebody, and we send it out. There was one Maulana, he gave a bayan. So the clip went out. Maulana from Pakistan, he gave a bayan. He said, whoever votes for my party, if you send me for etikaf and you vote for my party, you go out of the masjid and you vote for my party, your etikaf won't break. But if you vote for the other party, your etikaf will break. So this is the clip which went out. Now what will people think? What does Maulana is mentioning in the bayan? So then we met one other person who knew this Maulana. So he said, what a thing he sent out. This is his voice. He definitely sent this out. So he laughed. He said, let me tell you the whole story. He said, Maulana was giving a bayan. In the bayan, Maulana said, today there is so much of jahalat in the ummat. One jahil person, this is the masala he mentioned. And then Maulana mentioned the masala which he mentioned. So now Maulana is not saying this. He's not giving the masala. He's saying one jahil person is mentioning there's so much of ignorance in the ummat. How can a person mention this? But now you only heard that one portion of the clip. So people are sending it out. You're not listening to the whole story. So unfortunately, many times, when we don't hear the whole story, it's very easy to pass judgment on people. And we don't hear the whole thing. So be very, very careful when you are sending out, especially against somebody else. Don't just send out messages. Be very, very careful. Because remember, إِنَّ السَّمَعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. On the day of Qiyamah, you'll be asked regarding your ears, your tongue, your heart, whatever you are sending out. Is that something? Hadith, you just get one hadith, you send it out. Whether the hadith is fabricated or not. Before, it wasn't so easy to send out. People used to be very particular where we're getting knowledge from. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. This knowledge which you are getting is your deen. Be very careful where you're getting your deen from. And then what you are spreading out to other people also. Because you'll be responsible, and especially if you send out wrong things. And the effects, inshallah, I'm going to mention one waqiyah, one you'll understand that the effects of it remain for so long. You continue getting the guna and sin of the day. Yes, if you benefit people, mashallah, with the right things, and you are sending out, then the thawabs will continue accruing to a person. So this will be very, very careful when we are using our cell phone also, what we are sending out. The first thing is the pictures. This one, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever makes an image in this world will be compelled to give life to it on the day of Qiyamah, and he will not be able to give life to it. A man went to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said, I make these images as an occupation. Give me a fatwa regarding it. So he said, come closer. Man came closer. He said, come closer. Man came even closer. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, he placed his hand on the man and said, I will inform you of what I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, every image maker, every person who is making a picture, an image, he will be in a fire of Jahannam. A separate life will be given to him for every image that he produced. That life will then punish him in Jahannam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi alayhi salam to come to you. But he delayed in coming to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very anxious. He went out of the house and he met Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So Nabi said, why did you delay in coming to me? He said, I do not enter a house in which there is a dog or a picture. We do not enter houses in which there are dogs or pictures. So today, sir, unfortunately, how many pictures? And we are taking the pictures ourselves. That's the worst, actually, to take a picture of an animate object, whether it's a lion, whether it's a fish. It's all the animals I'm taking, but that's also an animate object. Unless if you want to, it's permissible that you take a tree or for a mountain or something like that. But of animate objects, a person is completely abstained from it. It's not permissible at all for a person to take. And what severe warnings Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given. Hajj Abdul Wahab sahab rahmatullahi, one day he mentioned, there's a Mawliyat rahmatullahi was once on a journey. They came to a certain house, and Mawlana was feeling very constricted, tense. He wasn't speaking very openly and freely. So those who were close to Mawlana, they realized that Mawlana is not comfortable. So they asked him, what's the reason for this here? He said, it seems there is no angels in this house. So then people look now in the Hadith Sharif, there are certain things by which angels leave the house. So eventually, one place, they found a piece of paper lying in the corner in the house, which had a picture of an animate object. As soon as they removed it, then Mawlana's condition returned back to normal. So in our homes, then we're finding parashan, we've got this problem, that worry, and these things are troubling us, and it's jadu in the houses. As it mentioned so beautifully, he said that jadu in the house comes when you've got a picture of Ayatul Kursi and you've got your TV under it. The worst jadu you can make is when you take pure things and you put it with filthy things. So you've got the most purest Quran Sharif, and you've got TV which is haram things, pictures of naked women coming there. You're joining these two together, you're creating jadu in your own house, and then you say somebody made jadu on us. This is where the jahadu is coming. You're creating your own jahadu in the house. So one place I went and I mentioned this here, in one person's house. So the next time I came, so he removed the actual kursi, but the TV was still there. So it's such a sad state of affairs actually that Allah's name, this is causing the problem, there is the TV. So he said, no, let me at least remove some of the problem. So he removed the actual kursi from there. That we're supposed to take out the TVs from our homes. So even the pictures we are keeping in our hands and we are using them, Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi so much so used to say that even if a person is forced to take a photo, it's prohibited to take photos, but sometimes you are forced for your passport and that. So Hazrat said, firstly, don't take a photo with a smile. Imam Abdul Ghani Poolpuri rahmatullahi said, don't take a photo with a smile. With a sorrowful face, seeking forgiveness in the heart. Then a person says, Allah, I know it's haram to take this here, but I got a sharia reason, please forgive me. You make tawbah after the day. Otherwise, what happens is when you start taking these pictures, slowly, slowly the evil comes out of it. So like many people nowadays, they take pictures, they say, no, they are permissible pictures even. And then there is some ikhtilaf, some difference of opinion, you take this picture, take that picture, then where it goes to, where it leads a person to. So completely from the root, a person cuts it out, and a person is saved and protected. Nabi alayhi salam said, halal is clear, haram is clear. Sometimes there are some grey areas, you start going into there, you automatically fall into the wrong area. And then where and where a person, what pictures he is taking, what haram things a person takes, he doesn't even realize it. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. Haji Ahmad Nakhuda, rahmatullah alayhi, one neighbor in Medina Munawwara, his name was Ismail Arabi. He was a Pakistani living in Medina Munawwara. So one day he told Haji Sahab, I heard a knock on the door. When I opened it, I found Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in front of my door. So I invited them, come in the house. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got very angry with me. And he said, I can't enter your house, there's a TV in the house. So the next morning, this Ismail Arabi, he broke his TV and he threw it away. So, we don't have TVs in our house. Alhamdulillah, all the people sitting here, inshallah, I don't think anyone got TV in our house. But we got a cell phone, they brought the TV in our houses. Before we say, me, I'm a Maulana, I can't have a TV in my house. So we got a cell phone. And now all the movies are on the cell phone. So a person, obviously, inshallah, we're not watching it, but how easy it is for a person nowadays to fall into the fitna. Many ulama used to come back to Hakim Fakhruddin rahmatullah alayh. He mentioned there was a time with the rising and setting of the sun, when he used to go to Surat, there was nothing but Noor there, full of Noor. In the houses, you start off in the morning with Tilawat of Quran Sharif. And people used to sleep early at night, Zikrullah, Tilawat. But once the cinemas and television and videos came, it flooded Surat. He said there was nothing but Zulmat and darkness. Now a person forgets. He forgets actually, Ibadat. One wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he went to one house. He said, I can actually feel zina coming off from the walls of the house, adultery. He was actually, because his heart was so pure, he was able to see that. The people were not making zina in the house, but they were watching their cell and television. So we are watching this porn on the cell phone. This is what we are actually, Allah Ta'ala protect us. The next harm of the TV is the zina. Chats with khair mahram woman. How many people, pious people, they are getting involved with this year? Old people, see, they are getting involved. Allah Ta'ala says, لَهَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah is going to test you in this life. The sahaba radiallahu anhu go out in the path of Allah. They were going for Hajj, they were in Ihram. So in Ihram, you can't hunt. You can't hunt. Allah made it so easy for them that the rabbits were walking in front of them with their hands, they can go and pick it up. The buck was right in front of them. Tanalu aydikum wa rimahukum. With your hands, you can get it on your spear, you just spear it. The animal is yours. Allah said, it was a test for them. It was right in front, so easy for you. لِيَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَن يَخَافُ بِالْغَيْبِ It's an examination. Allah wants to see now who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who knows Allah is watching him? It's not a bounty Allah sent you, it's an examination. So that woman sends you a message now. He says, hey, ni'mat ghayr mutaraqqaba. I was a bounty which I was not expecting. What a bounty I got here. You're getting caught up with an examination, Allah, you're failing your examination. And you're thinking, hey, I'm enjoying myself. I'm so lucky this woman is sending me a message. Allah is testing a person. And examinations you're going to have in life. Sahaba ever tested like this here, we're also going to get tested. So if a person can be remain firm at that time, look, everyone likes. Allah has created, everyone likes women. Pornography also, the pictures. It's a desire in a person. It comes there. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, many years ago, when Mirtab met him first time, his heart in Mirtab. So Hazrat told him one beautiful thing, he told him. He said, Mirtab, if you're traveling from one place to another place, you know, I'll give you an example, like Joburg to Durban, you're going by train. And when you come here, when you reach here, the person asks you, we met you, hey, how was the train ride? You know, I booked it for you, how was it? I know there's a lot of mosquitoes at the present moment. Did you get any mosquito bites? I said, hey, and I never sleep. I got 10 mosquito bites. He said, oh, okay, 10 mosquito bites. Because of the taklif and difficulty of coming to me, you got 10 mosquito bites. So here's 100,000 for you, 10,000 for every mosquito bite. on this journey you were swearing him. He present me on this train, 10 matai, 10 baitai God. After he gave it 100,000, Ya Allah, why I didn't get 20 or 30? I said, oh God, much more mosquito bites. I only got so few. So Hazrat said in his life, there are many times your heart will be hit. You'll have a certain desire, you'll break your desire for the pleasure of Allah. And what Allah is going to give you in the year after, when you see the rewards of that, every bite, every hit on your heart, that woman sent you a message, you broke your heart for Allah's pleasure. That pornography, you could have seen it, but for Allah's pleasure, you stopped yourself. The picture was there, the film was there, you said, no, Allah is watching me. And you broke your heart, you hit your heart. Every one of them, Allah, in this world also, you're going to get halawat of iman, a sweet taste of iman. But in akhirat, every one of them, you're going to get paid for. When you will go there, you say, Allah, why didn't I get much more examinations and I never passed those examinations? What and what reward Allah is going to give me? So may Allah protect and save us from this chatting. Don't think it's enjoyable. Allah says, فَمَنْ يَعْتَرَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. A person who exceeds the bounds is a very severe punishment for that person. It's an examination. Allah is testing you. So the chatting with ghair mahrams, we should be very careful. Keep our phone open. Our wives must have full access to our phones. A person, inshallah, to a certain extent will be protected. And then pornography, as I'm mentioning, that how this is, unfortunately, I met one alim recently, senior alim of our country, and he said that I get so many messages, pious people, tablighis, khanka people, ulama, who are involved in pornography. You see, their wives write to me letters, and they're sending me the complaints. He's such an old, 60-year-old person, and he's involved in pornography. One alim, many years ago, this kitab was written about 10, 15 years ago, I read the story. He says, one day I went to the masjid, and I met one youngster, 17-year-old boy, he's crying so much. I asked him, why are you crying so much? He said, please make dua. He said, make dua for you. He said, not for me. He said, my nana passed away, my grandfather passed away. My nanny now, she's 60, 65 years old. Every day she's sitting on the internet and pornography. 6 hours a day she's sitting and watching porn. 65-year-old woman. And she's involved in it. So that goes through every class, young, old, male, female. Everyone is getting involved in this. This shaitan makes a person. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save us from this pornography. There's one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is about frightening. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that I know certain groups of my people, they will come on the day of Qiyamah. They will have good actions equal to the size of the mountains of Tihama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all of the actions haba'am mansura, completely turn into dust particles destroyed. So Subhan radiallahu anhu, the narrator says, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explain them to us, describe them to us, so we mustn't become like them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, they will be amongst your brothers. And they will go at night like how you are going at night to sleep. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ انْتَهَكُوهَا. But these are the people who, at night when they are alone, and they can fulfill the haram things, evil actions, then they will break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the solitude, they are breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As one person said, that, لَا تَكُنْ وَلِيًّا لِلَّهِ فِي الظَّاهِرِ أَدُوًا لِلَّهِ فِي الْبَاطِنِ. Don't be the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outwardly. Everybody says, Hazrat, wala pious person. But in batin, in hidden, you are the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in front of everybody, mashallah, we're very pious. But when we go in our khalwat, that's the main thing. Our ulama say, كُلَّمَا طَيَّبَ الْعَبْدُ خَلْوَتَهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى طَيَّبَ اللَّهُ خَلْوَتَهُ فِي الْقَبَرِ. Whichever person makes beautiful his khalwat and his solitude between himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make it beautiful in his qabr. How your solitude is, that's how a person will leave this world. Not openly, but what a person is doing in his quiet time. This is what Allah Ta'ala do, because it's sincerity in the day. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. One person says, so beautiful in Arabic, he says, فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي تَقُولُ فِيهِ نَقُولُ فِيهِ. In the time when we are saying, هَذَا زَمَانٌ الْوُسُولُ فِيهِ الْحَرَامِ أَسْهَلْ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. This is a zaman where it's so easy for us to get involved in haram. يَجِبُ أَن تَقُولُ. It's necessary for you to say at that time, هَذَا زَمَانٌ الْقُرْبُ فِيهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِتَرْكِ الْحَرَامِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. This is the time when we are living. To get closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by leaving out haram is much more greater than any other time mankind is living in. To reach Allah has become very, very easy in today's time. As Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi used to say in the past time, to reach Allah ta'ala was difficult. To cook a pot of food was so difficult. You'd go and look for firewood. It takes you so many hours to cook a pot of food. Today, you just with a microwave, with a oven in 15, 20 minutes. So Hazrat used to say, like, how physical things Allah has made it easy. Ruhani things Allah has made it very easy to reach Allah ta'ala. Just put a stamp on your nafs, and you reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Little bit of qurbani you have to make. The examinations are so much, a person reaches Allah ta'ala very easily. So may Allah ta'ala protect and save us. Then one, two other points. One is the health issues also. It's actually destroying our health. Strain on the neck, on the eyes, back pain, dry eyes, sleep disturbances. People, they got no attention. Family life is being destroyed. Research has proven that people engage more with cell phones than with actual human beings. In one survey, 39% people admitted they interact more with their smartphones than with their beloved ones. Allah said, Sukoon. Allah has made Wallahu ja'ala lakum min buyutikum sakana. Allah has made your house a place of sukoon. Allah said, you made your wives, litaskunu ilayha. You must have sukoon with your wives. Allah said, I made the day and night for you. The night is a place litaskunu. Litaskunu fihi. So the night, your wives and your houses, that's a place of sukoon. But we are going in our houses, we got no sukoon because we're not with a wife. We're not sleeping at night. We're on the cell phone. So there's no sukoon in a person's life. There's no comfort in a person's life because unfortunately of the cell phone. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. And the last point also, which is very harmful is the music on the cell phone. Al-ghina'u yumbitu an-nifaq fil qalb. Nabi alayhi salam said, music creates hypocrisy in the heart, like how water gives rise to crops. On the other side, he said, wa-zikrullah. The zikr of Allah and tilawat of Quran gives rise, as Abdullah ibn Masood's narration, it gives rise to iman, like how water gives rise to crops. The opposite of music is tilawat of Quran and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was one incident of one doctor. He writes that he was walking past one youngster, and he saw the youngster was singing songs. So he told him, "Why, you got a terminal illness, you're very sick, cancer, whatever he had." He said, I can't sing in Allah very long. He was frightened. So he told him, you know how to read Quran. I can bring a Quran Sharif, a Mustafa for you, you can read Quran. So he said, no, I'm a Hafiz of Quran. He said, Hafiz of Quran, and you listen to music. He said, no, I listen to music also, and I read Quran also. He said, what you like more? He said, I like my music more. The doctor says a few days later, he passed away, and he was singing songs. He had Quran in his heart, but he was singing songs. One person writes, 21-year-old guy, he said, I'm a 21-year-old guy. My friend passed away in a car accident a few months ago. Very good akhlaq, character. There was no one who didn't love him. He respected everyone. He was known for his good manners. Everyone was surprised at his death. A few weeks after his death, I started getting nightmares. Nightmares, he's being tortured and burnt in Jahannam. Every night I used to wake up horrified and terrified. I didn't believe this was happening to him. You see, I take a qasam by Allah. Everyone was a witness to his good manners. And no one thought the bad things coming from him. But the nightmares became more and more often. Like he's calling me for help. And I can actually keep in my mind, I can remember that image which was in my ear, which I saw him being tortured. Sadid was coming out of his ears and mouth and under his nails. What's sadid? It's blood and pus. And the people of Jahannam will be made to think of his qamimah and sadid. This blood and pus just coming out from his ears and his eyes. I'll never forget that image. He said, I swear to the creator of the heavens and the earth, his screams were not normal at all. It was stuck in my mind. I started giving sadaqah ijariya for him. I made dua for him at the time of Adhan. Whatever I did, the nightmares never go away. I stopped sleeping then. I couldn't do anything besides making dua. 2 days later, again, another nightmare of him being tortured. People with big bodies were dragging him and putting the sadid in his ears. They took melted iron and poured it in his ears and he was screaming. He had pain in his voice. So I spoke to him in my dream. I said, bye, brother, why are we doing this to you? You used to respect your parents. You used to perform your 5 times salat. What kind of guna did you commit? He said, my brother, music. Music, my brother, music. He said, after I passed away and Allah put me in the grave, I have been tortured in the hole of hell because of music and because of sins of jariya. Jariya. Jariya means continuous sins. He said, I've never seen a day of relief for Allah, not a day, this person is saying. Because of the music, the angels have been torturing me. Then they dragged him away. So I said, what does he mean by sins of jariya? Continuous sins. Then I remembered he had an account on Instagram and he was posting songs with music. It broke my heart. How many followers he had and how many likes there were. Everyone said, I like you, I like, I like. Everyone is listening to that music. His gunas are increasing and increasing. He didn't know he passed away. That's what he meant by sins jariya, continuous sins. And I mentioned to you also, when we're sending something and the gunas remain. Now, the don't think he just come to an end. We haven't stopped it. We are means of those people. Every person who listens to it, he gets sins for it. I felt like it was my fault. I didn't know about the sin. So I didn't know his password or email. I kept looking for ways until Alhamdulillah Allah made it such. I found one hacker. I called him, I told him about my situation. He erased everything and he deleted the account. Finally, after a long time, I felt relief and I could sleep. But I'll never forget those images. Alhamdulillah, through the barakah of that, I stopped listening to music. I actually hated mentioning music. This all showed me that this world is just an examination from Allah Ta'ala to his servants. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. So just a few solutions to the problem. One is, Allah give myself, the same as we must be smarter than a smartphone. Don't let we must not become the slave of the smartphone. We must become the boss of the smartphone. We must have time. I'm using it for my business. When I come back at home, a certain time. At this time, I'm putting one of my friends, I phoned him. I couldn't get through to him. He said, no, when I come home, it's family time. There's no cell phone. If somebody wants to speak to me, tomorrow we'll speak. So we have a curfew on the cell phone at a certain time. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. We have a certain time and must be under control. And all our cell phones must be open for our wives. And the wives must be open for the husband. They must be able to see each other's accounts. So then the person is protected to some extent in this way. Yeah. And then don't keep another cell phone, obviously hidden one. And the wife is looking and she's checking through the cell phone. And Allah has made a woman, they got a sixth sense. They catch the husband very quickly. But what a thing it creates in a marriage. How much of hatred there is. How much of mistrust there is after the day. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So many people say, I'm very weak. I got the knowledge of it. I know about it. So Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah has given three solutions. What births courage in a person? What births courage in a person? So the first one, he says, Sohbat al-Salihin, which Hazrat mentioned yesterday in great detail. Sohbat al-Salihin, keeping in the company of the righteous and the pious people. And obviously our dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The second thing Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah says, obviously all the time we can't get the sohbat of the Salihin, the pious people. So he says, at least daily read some stories about the people of the pious. Talim, what we call Talim. Read some stories of them, or you want to listen to a recording of some of our pious people. So this must be a reminder for a person all the time. This also creates courage in a person. Because when you keep listening to our pious people, how they used to live their lives, then inshallah it becomes easier for us. And the third thing, which I mentioned, I met at Alim and I asked him, Hazrat, you're telling us about the fitnas and people are getting involved. What's the solution? So he said the solution is death. He said we've forgotten death. And this ayat which I recited, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, people who follow their desires, they go away from the path of Allah Ta'ala. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. For them is a severe punishment. Allah says the sickness is because you're forgetting the day of Qiyamah. You're forgetting the hisab you're going to stand before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Because we forgot that, that's why we're getting involved in this. So as alim then, but people, like how much you think about death? So you said every night before going to sleep, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, think about death. Easier way for us, sometimes you can't think about death, take a kitab on death. Remembrance of mort. If you're frightened about death, take a kitab on Jannat. Read us about Jannat, about the qabr, the enjoyments in Jannat. So that Mawlana told me, he said, you won't feel the effect immediately. It's not going to change you one day. But you have to do it continuously, 6 months, 1 year. Then it will have an effect on the heart. You see, like exercise, you just do it now, 2 days you did exercise, or you're running, then you say, I'm running the marathon now. See, Comrades Marathon, is that not jai to run the Comrades Marathon? Just an example I'm giving you. So a person is saying, now 2 days exercise, I'm fit. No, you'll have to do exercise for 1 year. Then your legs will be strong enough. So we just read a kitab for 1-2 days and we leave it suddenly. So I was saying, 5 minutes dhikr you make every day, it has an effect, but not 1 day, 2 days. You have to continuously do it. Then it will have an effect upon a person. So this is bima nasu yawm al-hisab, because we have forgotten akhirat. We have forgotten we have to die one day. We have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we are in ghaflat. So such a simple thing. Normally before sleeping, many people get involved in the pictures and all of these things, in all of the haram. So we keep our kitab on death. Every night before sleeping, just read about death, little bit about death. Inshallah, or we can think, and I'm sleeping now, I'm going to be put in the qabr one day. And slowly, slowly, inshallah, this will have an effect upon a person. May Allah Ta'ala protect myself and all of us. If you remember, our object of life is akhirat. Hazrat says, every morning we're actually supposed to be renewing our intentions. Why have I come in this world? To become a lover of Allah Ta'ala, to follow the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to prepare for my life of akhirat, to save myself from Jahannam, to get the highest levels of Jannah to Firdaus. Remind ourselves, that's why I've come in this world. Then inshallah, slowly, slowly, the effect of this. So we got the knowledge of it. Now we just need the courage to practice upon it. Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah said, three simple things, Sohbat of Salihin. Then you read the kitabs of the pious people. Keep reading about them, as Mawlana was mentioning before about Fazail Sadaqat. Read those kitabs which will build up our iman. And number three, daily, small amount of time regarding death. Inshallah, this will protect and save a person, will give us the courage to abstain from all kinds of gunas and sins. May Allah grant myself and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.